Enough is enough.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Indie Wrestling Corner with another episode of Under the Ropes. I'm your host as always, the queen of the indies, Tiffany. And today I am joined by my good friend, Max Smashmaster. How are ya?
I'm great. It only took us 20 minutes to get this set up, but I'm ready to go. I'm ready to talk.
Yes. Oh, that's why we always do a little bit early on this podcast so we can try to get all the kinks out for you guys pretty much. So, but if you guys are new here I interview everything independent wrestling, whether it's wrestlers, promoters, referees, backstage. I got you covered. If you guys got questions for Max, please feel free, drop it into the chat. I'm sure he'll be more than happy to answer any of your questions. So here we go. All right, cool beans. All right, so let's start this. Actually, I kind of wanted to start this interview off very differently than how I start a lot of my other interviews. I know we got to meet last year. I came up to the New England Pro Wrestling Academy the day after one of the Chaotic shows in Boston, which was so much fun. So I got to visit the New England Pro Wrestling Academy, which was so awesome to see. I've been at so many different schools, so we got to meet. So let's start there because I feel like this is very important that we need to talk about the New England Pro Wrestling Academy. You know, yeah, students, sure. You know, a bunch of the people have been on this podcast and I'm still working on getting a bunch of other people on this pod. But yeah, like talk to us about like the school, you being a trainer there. Give us a little bit of everything with it.
Yeah, so it was around 2016. I had to step away from wrestling. So I had always been affiliated a little bit with NEPWA and I became a trainer in the summer of 2016, I think it was. And then in 2020, you know, some things happened, some shit hit the fan. And I think early June, we got approached to purchase the school. So myself and Chase Del Monte bought the school and kind of just revamped it and made it what our vision was. And kind of utilized the space a little bit better than we thought it had been. And we've just been off to the races. It's kind of just, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of time, but we're successful and we're profitable and we're producing, you know, tons of students. So I think we have something of 20 students produced since the pandemic, which is, I'll pat myself on the back, it's more than most places. Mm-hmm. And we currently have between 70 and 80 students currently signed up. Depends on how many come on a certain day. But, you know, we have a lot of students and a great culture. Yeah, I mean, I could talk all day about it. But, I love the place. We have two rings, full gym. I keep, you know, pushing for a tanning bed. So it's kind of a one-stop shop. You know, you get your tanning, you get your gym, you get your wrestling training. You don't need much more. We need an in-house gear maker and then we'll be set.
You know? Well, you got Brad Cashew, who's, pretty much.
He's just there to make people's gear.
There you go. I mean, we talked about that with Brad when he's been on this podcast. Yeah. So definitely if you want some gear, you got that freaking over too.
He does a good job too. He does. That's not an easy thing.
Yeah. I love even like Ricky Smokes. We've talked about his gear. Yep. You know, like his white gear was, I think, Brad's favorite gear that mm-hmm. he made for him. I
remember. Yeah, the Supreme that. Kind of gear. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like, you know, this is kind of important for like anybody, you know, interested. I mean, I know a little bit, obviously, like, you know, the back scene of it. But like, let's say, you know, maybe somebody that's thinking about getting into wrestling, you know, like how they would sign up, like how much is it, like what are the days that it gets ran?
Yeah, so we run Tuesdays and Thursdays are our main classes, 6:30 to 9 p.m but the school opens at 5. The school's open from 5 until pretty much the last advanced student leaves. That could be 1 a.m you know, it really depends. So from 5 until whenever, and then on Wednesdays is open ring, so that's 5 until whenever, and Saturdays, I get there around 11:30, and I leave between 2 and 3, but there's always an advanced student or something, you know, getting a lift before going to a show, etc., right? So we're open 4 days a week. The prices are I'd say competitive. It's not easy to find a good wrestling school that doesn't break the bank, you know. But for one full year, it's $2,250, so $2,250. That gets you 12 months, and then after that 12 months, it just goes down to a normal gym fee, $50 a month. You don't have to pay that $2,250 ever again. Then, if you wanted to pay quarterly, so we have three options. The quarterly payments are $750 every quarter, and then like every other deal, just goes down to $50. Like after that first year, you're not entitled to, you know, pay any more than the $50 a month. That's basic gym dues. It's upkeep. It's new canvases, which we try to switch out the canvases on both rings every 6 months or so. So, you know, we're not just wrestling on these thin, sweat-filled, duct taped up, you know, canvases. We want nice, clean canvases, and they're brand new. So, and then the final payment option is the monthly, which I kind of pitch to the people who are like, I'm not sure. So it's 500 down, 300 a month, and cancel anytime kind of thing. And even with the other ones, we're really lenient. Like, okay, if you can't make your 6 month payment, we'll just put it on hold, and when you can, then you can start back up. So it's not like the second you sign up, you have to pay all those, or else, you know, we're going to come chase you down. It's
Right.
just, you know, we're pretty reasonable.
No, it's good. It's good because, like I said, people want to know. Also, know like I mean, I know like I talked to Chase about it. You know, if like a visiting wrestler, I don't know if like maybe like someone that
Yeah.
doesn't live in Massachusetts, maybe you want to talk a little bit about that. You know.
Usually, if it's just like a one time, it's just come in. It's free. Doesn't, you know, we're not going to charge you $50 to drive up and take one class. We do have a few other options. If you're looking to take multiple classes, you know, we had this for a while. I'm not sure if we're still doing it because we don't get too many people who want to take like 10 classes.
Yeah.
And you might as well just sign up at that point for, you know, if you're a already trained wrestler, you can come in and do $50 a month right off the bat. Like you don't have to pay a new sign up fee, but you know, $75 for kind of like a punch ticket, 10 classes, that works, right? So, you know, if you can only make it once a month, you know, pay $75 and we'll see you once a month for the next year, pretty much. So, yeah, for anyone who, how many people do we have listening? Because I have no, I'm not privy to that information, but you gotta look, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, like I
But yeah,
see
it's like,
about like, you know, so far like 10 people like popped in, you know, one of them doesn't tell me how many people are watching, you
no
know.
way.
So, but I see
But yeah,
people.
it's just, if you were looking to come up, you can just hit up either the Facebook or send an email on the website, and you're more than welcome. If you're already a trained wrestler, that's the best way to do it. It's just get some reps in. If I know your trainer, just have them reach out too. That helps.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, what happened to my camera here? I'm getting all
Getting
like
fuzzy.
I'm fuzzy. Let's fix that. Okay, now it should be good. It might be the lighting where I'm at right now. I gotta fix my lighting in here. But yeah, no, I think it's great because like these are always questions. Parents reach out to me, students reach out to me, you know. So I try to get that out there for anybody that listens to this podcast, or you know, maybe I can pay it forward to somebody else that'd be very interested. So definitely check out NEPA. It's like really, really nice up there. So I know like the super camps happen there too, correct?
So what is that?
The super camps. I know they're
Oh,
like
the
the
fantasy camps?
yeah.
Yeah, so fantasy camp, basically a 1 day training session. It's $79. We do them twice a year, once in February, once in August. And yeah, it's like a 1 day kind of crash course as to what you should expect in your first few months of wrestling training. So from lockups to a little bit of calisthenics to bumps and hitting the ropes, and you kind of just come and hang out with a bunch of like-minded people. At the end, we have you cut a promo if you want and jump off the top rope onto some crash pads for fun, and that's it. So yeah, that's a fun day, especially if you're just looking to see what it's like to get into a ring and you have no ambitions of being a professional wrestler. Like, wouldn't you want to do that just once?
That's
Right?
fun. That's
So
fun.
yeah.
Like, I don't think I've known any other place that has like done that. So I think that's kind of like cool. It gives like a little bit better of a
Right. We
breakdown.
give people the option, right?
Yeah, definitely. I see your guys' questions in chat, but I want to ask one more question, then I'll pull your
Okay.
questions into the chat. So, like, what is one of your favorite things about like being a trainer?
Obviously seeing people develop, right? Like when Becca came to us, she had trained previously at a Belltime Club, which is around Boston, but she was green. You know, she had some good fundamentals. She came to us and we cleaned them up, and we definitely gave her, I would say, a little bit of confidence to be who she wanted to be, rather than just thinking she had to be, you know, ex female wrestler, you know, like, you know, generic female wrestler. You know, just she already had personality, so why not just allow her to be her and you know, critique here and there. And I'm not going to say that we were the ones who gave her her success, but you know, we hopefully gave her the tools and the fundamentals to be a good wrestler and then succeed in the way she did. Mortar, Brad Cashew, Ricky Smokes, you know, just seeing them progress coming from nothing. It's I always harken back to, because in another career of mine, you know, the one that actually pays me money, I was a teacher at the college level for culinary arts, and I had a really great, you know, kind of mentor who said, it's easy to teach smart kids. It's easy to teach people who just get it already. It's fulfilling to teach someone who's struggling and see them succeed. And when you see them succeed, you feel so much better about it, right? You see the light bulb go off in their head, and you know you've done something, rather than just, you know, point in a direction and say go. And one person I'll point out, I don't know if he's watching, I love him, he's a great student of mine, Sean Keegan. He literally ate shit for 4 years. He couldn't get it. He was awkward. He's still awkward, but he can definitely get through promos and matches, and he's entertaining. He makes me laugh so much, like in a great way. You know, I'm excited to see him, and he's starting to get out there and do some things, and like check him out, because he's tall, he's in great shape, he takes care of himself, he's vegan, like, you know, he's got a built-in gimmick. But yeah, I'm really excited to see him hopefully progress and try to venture out and, you know, really kind of get that. He's strived so hard to get a little spot on Chaotic, which I know he's worked really hard for. So hopefully he'll get that this year.
Oh, so exciting. So exciting. All right, let's see. Let me grab these questions in the chat. Okay, so Bob says, is wrestling school good mentally? I would think
Good
so.
mentally, so good mentally. I'm not sure exactly which way we mean that. Is it good for you in the sense that it can give you confidence and it can change you, in a different way than, you know, regular school would? Yeah, of course. Is it grueling? Is it tough? Should it be tough? Yes, it should be. I always like to say that wrestling isn't a privilege. You don't just pay the money and you're okay, here you go, you're allowed to wrestle on a show. No, you have to work for it, right? It's you can't graduate college without putting in the work and doing the studying. So wrestling school is the same way. It's just physical rather than mental. Will you cry? Probably. Sorry, it's just how it is. Not from like verbal abuse or anything, but sometimes you just get down on yourself, right? And in no other job are you said, hey, run against those metal cables, asshole. You know, like there's no resume that you can put that on that'll get you a job anywhere except wrestling. So, yeah, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be weird. It's going to be hard. So, yeah, mentally, it can be tough, but also it can be fulfilling once you, because I've seen introverts become extroverts through the glorious nature of pro wrestling, right? Like you can learn how to come out of your shell and be, you know, a bigger person than you are on the inside, which is really cool.
Yeah, I've seen a bunch of those, like that they're very timid, but then
yeah
like, whoa, the personality like coming out behind the mic, or I was like, whoa, where'd that come from?
right yeah yeah you can turn it on.
Oh man, especially like when you start to see like the, like I am obsessed with like promos, and I feel like I love the art of promos, and I wish more wrestlers would put out promos. The setup for their match is like one of my favorite things in wrestling, but then sometimes you'll just see like it click, you know, and then it's like,
Yeah,
whoa, where'd that come from? Like from
you
that
have to
person?
feel it.
Yeah. So I love that. It's one of my favorite things in wrestling. Bob also wants to know, what's it like working with Sydney Bacabella?
Oh, Sydney Bacabella. So Cindy Bacabella and I spent a lot of time in a car driving around this country, not just in kayfabe, but in real life. We've driven 100,000 miles together in a car. So I won't say that I am responsible for the Cindy Bacabella gimmick, but I was there for the
Birth of
thought
it.
process behind it. Going to the show is like, how are these characters going to interact with each other? How are these characters going to learn to talk? What would Cindy Bacabella eat at a restaurant? What would he order? How would he act, in a rest stop? Like, these are all things that you should think about when you're coming up with a character that is not you. We hear the cliche of, oh, the best characters in wrestling are just you dialed up to 11. And like, yeah, but what if you suck? Like, what if you're boring? You dialing boring up to 11 is just like slightly less boring. So, and I'm not saying that about Sydney because he's not fucking boring in real life, I'll tell you that. But like, he is not that character. He's somewhat, but he is not Sydney Bacabella. So trying to figure out all those little nuances and then applying them. I don't know if you've ever noticed, Sydney Bacabella has a perpetual frown, right? He's always got a perpetual frown on his face in every picture you'll ever see. And that comes from working in the restaurant industry and being face to face with customers. I would say, like, when someone's a miserable fuck, when they walk up and they just like, they're already frowning, their face is molded to a frown. So that's why he always has a perpetual frown. Like, you see that on him and you're like, ugh, this guy, right?
Yeah.
But he's a caricature. So yeah, I mean, Sydney's amazing. He's a phenomenal talent, and you'll see when Rad Pro starts up, he's going to have a new character,
Ooh.
a completely new character. So he is Sydney Bacabella, but he's coming in as Wally Dangus, So we're working on that now. We're talking about it. We're trying to figure out how he talks, how he looks, what's his hair going to look like. All these things are things that we're working on. So,
Awesome.
yeah.
Looking forward for that, which we'll get into later during the show more. His other question was, do you plan on doing wrestling open anytime in the future?
So I did, it wasn't Wrestling Open. I did like a WWR Plus. Wrestling Open's tough because it's on Thursday and that's one of my days at the wrestling school. So it's, I feel like that's great for my students to go do. Whereas I would feel like I would take away from my, the younger students, helping out the beginner students, if I was just going out and selfishly taking or booking. Not that they've reached out, but if I were to reach out and say, hey, I want to come down on Thursday, that would take me away from my school and my students. Would I do it? Yeah, I would do it. It's just an hour down and an hour back and all that too, that I have to logistically fit into my ultra busy week. But maybe one day in the future, maybe in the summer. Summer might be a little bit easier for me to get down there, but I also want to feel wanted. That's part of wrestling. So,
Road trip with the students, maybe?
yeah, I could bring him down.
There you go. Definitely. All right, so good cop, bad cop in the chat. He said that he's gonna catch the podcast later, so thanks for popping in and watching us later. So he said he likes messing with everybody on the podcast. He goes, with Max being an anagram of XM, what was the hardest exam you ever took in your life?
Oh, that's a great one. So, the hardest exam I ever took in my life was, I am a certified executive chef in real life. So, that's a pretty intense exam. It's basically like getting your master's in culinary arts. So that was a pretty hard one. That's about 8 hours straight of just cooking and preparing all by yourself under extreme scrutiny. So, yeah.
Oh, that's gotta be fun. Oh,
Yeah.
favorite dish to make.
So that's the hardest. That's like favorite thing to wrestle in, because that's a wrestling game. You know what I mean? It's like,
Okay,
so
so what's your best dish that you think you can make?
There's a so difficult. It's so difficult. So I'll say like one of my favorite foods, but I'm not. Yeah, that's the question that every chef gets, but it's impossible to answer. So, well, you're in New York, right? Okay, so I'll give you one of my favorite dishes in New York that you can go get. Right. Do you like spicy food?
No.
Oh, Jesus.
It upsets my stomach, so I can't do it.
Oh, boo.
You can
Well,
recommend it anyway.
I'm
Maybe it
still
is a
gonna
New
tell you.
Yorker.
So, Sambar, Ssam, it's a David Chang restaurant, and he makes these it's like Chinese sausage and rice cakes, and it's not the rice cakes that Americans think of. They're like this chewy super noodle. But that is like, oh, that'll blow your mind. It fucking made me cry when I ate it. It was so good.
That's awesome. Awesome. See, take notes, guys. Melissa in chat said he may be the first guest ever never to flinch at the anagram question, right? Like, usually stumps all the guests on this podcast. They're like, what?
I'm
What?
part of Mensa. I understand a lot of things.
Well, it wasn't like a very like awkward question either. I think it was a
No,
really good
no.
question. So that's why he didn't flinch. So, but she's right. All right. So let's ask. So let's go this route because again, there's fans that may not know you at all. So for that fan that's never seen you wrestle before, what's probably the go-to match that you would recommend them to watch to become an instant fan?
So I would say if you're looking for a sub 8 minute match, which is like a lot of people are hitting me up after being, only a promoter for 4 weeks. There's a million people who want to get fucking booked right now. So what I tell them is send me a sub 8 minute match. And I'll tell you, none of them have a sub 8 minute match. They always send these 15 minute fucking links to their matches. I'm sorry, not watching. I don't have 15 minutes. But if you wanted to see a short match of mine that I really enjoy, that I think kind of gives the full understanding of what and who I am, is Night 3 of King of Trios 2015. So it's Night 3. It's the first match on the show, and it's the Devastation Corporation in a trios match against Aerostar, Drago, and Phoenix. So Team AAA, and it's like just a balls to the wall 8 minute fucking half lucha, half American. It's just awesome. I love it. It's one of my favorite matches that I've ever had. It's hot as hell, like 800 people in the crowd. Just made me feel like an actual wrestler, you know? If you want my favorite match, the best one that I think I've ever had was the season finale, Chikara 2014. It's called Tomorrow Never Dies, and it is a 2 out of 3 falls with Mr. Touchdown and Dasher Hatfield, Avery Good. So that's ECW Arena tag team titles on the line. Just it's like 26 minutes long. It's probably the best story we ever told. Great opponents, and I win a title in the ECW Arena. I can be a mark, right?
We're
The
all
fucking
marks.
best.
We're all marks. We're definitely all
Super
marks.
Mark. You see all my wrestling action figures behind me?
Oh boy. That's awesome. That's awesome. Oh man. All right. So I know like Dob will kill me if we don't talk about the
I know.
FWF championship pretty much.
Holy shit.
So we have to talk about, because I know like also like a lot of fans probably would want to talk about this too, with like, you working with Matt Cardona, so let's talk about the promotion a little bit. You're currently the champion, give us a little bit.
So yeah, I mean, I'm friends with Smart Mark Sterling, so I did everything in my power to make myself useful or visible to that podcast, because it's at the time when he started, it was Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins, and my friend Smart Mark's doing the podcast. He's doing the producing, so trying to get on with him and do his little like. They have a Patreon, so do like his little side thing, and my name kept coming up in the podcast and whatnot, and by virtue of me trying to like weasel myself in, I was able to start getting booked on those shows, because it was like anyone who's in the major wrestling figure podcast universe, like, let's book them. And I went to those shows knowing like there's probably going to be a lot of eyes on this, with it being the pandemic, it being, Matt Cardona's really like first thing he's done, Brian Myers' first thing he's done. So that first one, I just went out there and I worked as hard as I could. And then the second time, for the second show, I went out there and I worked my ass off. And fucking Slade headbutted me so fucking hard. I was bleeding like a pig, and we're in front of nobody. And I'm not a hardcore wrestler, but they made this hardcore championship for some reason. So they put it on me. So now I have to do hardcore matches. Thankfully, it's only like twice a year. But not that there's here. I have to pad myself. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just not what I'm used to doing.
Right.
I worked at Chikara. Like, we never did the hardcore shit or anything. Yeah. So like, not that I can't do it. So I went out there and I worked my ass off, just knowing, like, I'm in front of guys who are pros. Am I not going to work my ass off?
Yeah.
Am I not going to work as hard as I possibly can? I think that's shitty. I think going in there and phoning it in after you drove 4 hours is fucking lazy. So I went in there and worked my ass off. And he's like, oh, you're here to work. You're trying hard. You put on a ton of shit, like, to look toyetic. You know, you look like an action figure that would pop off the shelves. You know, what? I'll work. You know, I want to work with you. Great. That makes me feel awesome.
Yeah.
So, and he's fantastic. Just like as a person, as a mind, like, he's really awesome, really good at, like, thinking of things. And I pitched the idea. I was like, why don't you be Arnold Schwarzenegger and I be the Predator? So we designed our gear to, he was Arnold Schwarzenegger and I was the Predator from the movie Predator. And, you know, now he has an action figure that he made of himself, you know, for sale, that's in the gear that I pitched to him, to wrestle in. It's just like, it's awesome. I'm not going to lie. It was cool. Cause when I was really down and out on wrestling in 2011, I was like fucking jobless and just trying to make it and failing at every corner. And then you see this guy go on YouTube and work super hard to get over. Like, I was a fan of him, and then I get to work with him. So that's awesome. It made me feel great that he wanted to work with me.
That's amazing. That's so awesome. Alex is in the chat. What's going on? How are you? Oh, this is a good question from Bob. He goes, do you think you'll ever be an action figure?
Good question. As every day goes by, the opportunity goes down and down and down. I do have like a custom that when I was over, someone in Spain made for me and shipped it to me.
Oh, that's awesome.
That was really cool. But as like, if someone's ever going to make me, probably not.
Aww.
Probably not. But it'd be fucking awesome if it would be. But I'm going to say probably not.
See,
at the moment.
We need to make. See, I have JT Dunn from Dave Cole. So we need to like get.
But that's a custom. Right?
Yeah, it's so a custom. Like, yeah.
You want
an actual.
Someone painting a Big Show action figure to look like me and someone producing it and having it made in a factory in China and like shipped to the States, you know, like there's a difference.
That'd be cool though.
Yeah. Fucking awesome.
That'd be so cool. See, Bob, you should do it for him. Like,
yeah, it only costs like $35,000 to get one mold made.
We'll get one from Wish. It'll be okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about Chaotic now, because, like, you know, Chaotic, obviously special place in my heart, you know, like, you know, if people aren't following, you should be following. I've had a bunch of people on the podcast, you know, so, you know, I actually want to talk about like one particular match with you and Monar. I was like, this was such an amazing match and I felt like it meant like even like a lot to Monar, like, you know, like this was just a fun match. And if you guys want to go and find that, it's on Twitch. So make sure you go subscribe on the Chaotic Twitch channel. So,
is that the question?
Okay. Well, no. Yeah, I wanted to talk about like that particular match with you and him because I felt like it meant like a lot even to him.
Yeah, so Border's kind of like my mentee, right? So he is a super hard worker. And before the pandemic, like, he didn't know who he was. He was just CJ Cruz, originally with 2 Z's, then with 1 Z. And like, he's just a guy. And that's really tough. And he's got a lot of personality. He's a bit of an asshole, which is great because so am I. But when the pandemic happened, everything shut down. We were going to start doing like Reloaded tapings. I was coming back to wrestling. I had a heart issue in 2017, had to stop wrestling. I was told I was, medically disqualified from wrestling. Thankfully, I got cleared. I was going to come back in 2020 in March. It was like 2 weeks after the pandemic started. I was going to redebut at Chikara. I got cleared. I was ready to go, had all my gear, and then I had to not do it because everything shut down. So, and then, the things that happened with Chikara happened. So chaotic. Obviously, I'm close with Chase, and I never wanted to be that guy who just like took someone's spot on the show. So I wanted to wrestle for Chaotic so I could get it out of my system to wrestle again. But I never wanted to stay there and just like take over, a spot that could be for someone else. So I went in and I started this little story with Mortar, changed him from CJ Cruz to Mortar, which is just like a nickname we had for him anyways, but I think it works for him. And I went away for a little bit. Like I said, didn't want to be the guy who took over everything. But when he was about to win the New England Championship, it makes sense for me to come and like kind of give him his final test. Like, okay, you won the championship, but like now you have to beat me to prove to me that you are, actually worthy of it. So we went into that match, and it's like in a very old stomping ground of mine. I started wrestling in 2004, and I was always wrestling in that building in Dover, New Hampshire, and it meant, nostalgically something to me. So we had that match, and it was just kind of like a false count anywhere. Just had a like a brawl, and beat the bag out of each other, and really had fun. But I wanted to make sure that he came out of that looking better than when he went in, and looking like he could do anything. Similar to the vein of Shawn Michaels and Mankind, where Shawn Michaels was like, yeah, this very flashy, technical wrestler, but when he had the match with Mankind, you realize he could brawl too, So I kind of wanted, I think about that a lot whenever I'm trying to elevate, I guess, one of the students. It's like, make them look better and different in every way so it doesn't look like one of their normal matches. Because yeah, in WWE I would be a like an average size guy, but on the indies I'm a fucking monster. So I'm like 350 pounds and 6'5", right? It's just perspective to where you are. So if I can do something good for someone, I'm going to try my hardest. And he came, he came guns blazing, and we had a really fun match, and I'm really proud of that match. I dislocated the living shit out of my shoulder in it too.
Oh
It
God, I'm
hurt
so
so
sorry.
bad.
Oh my God. But yeah, this is definitely like a special match. Kind of like pass the torch, kind of like a little bit like here, like we're gonna make you look good. And that's why I picked that particular match that I wanted definitely to
Thank you.
talk about. So much love. You guys should check out the interview with Mortar too on this pod. So all
Well, did he
right.
put me over? I hope he put me over. If he
I'm
didn't, I'm
pretty
going to
sure
be
he
pissed.
did. I've done so many
He
interviews.
better. I'm going to go back and listen and shit on him if he did.
You have to go back to like all your students, and then you
Yeah.
could like
And make sure they said my name at least
yes, and
five
like
times.
use it again. So I'm like, listen,
Listen, you got to put me over.
like Ricky, Brad, like eventually Dom will be here too.
Oh,
Shout
God.
out to Much love. I love Dom. He texted me before. He was like, I'm so excited. So yeah. So
Dom's a good boy.
all right. So actually, let's do this fan question before we can talk a little bit about Rad Pro Wrestling pretty much. So this one came from Dante Drago. He
Oh,
says,
okay.
he goes, how will it feel when the two young, handsome, smart, athletic, upstart mixologists beat him up on his debut show of his promotion?
Are you talking about Tangray and Bobby Sapphire, the
Yes.
Botanicals?
Yes.
Well, I know they're well versed in a little known style of wrestling. I'm not sure if you've heard of it. It's Tahitian Tower style tag team tandem wrestling. So I've only seen it, in really old videos, and it's really hard to get a grasp on it. But they basically do everything tandem in an electric chair, so one sitting on the shoulders of another. So it's going to be difficult since I don't have much video to watch on them to see how to counteract that type of offense. But at least I know that going into that match, it's going to be a little bit different than my normal matches. But they also have to realize that what is he, 4'11"? Like, the second I catch him, I'm going to powerbomb the dog shit out of him and, you know, just beat him as soon as possible. That's how it's going to feel, Dante Drago, also known as Tangray.
If I don't get a choke slam in this match, I'm boycotting.
Thankfully, listen. I know someone who can veto anything else and make sure there's a choke slam in this match.
There's the choke slam championship. I am in. I have it, right? It is a thing. Dante swears that he's the champion. I have it.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not happening till April 15th at NFW. It's already official. Well. Dante, and
I'll make sure there's one. Are you gonna come?
I'm hoping that I'm gonna come for the show. I want to come, so as long as we're cool with snow and all that stuff like that, my butt's coming up, you know. So obviously, you know, it's like a 3-hour drive for me.
You know, so, sometimes you got to make the sacrifice.
Well, you guys know I do make the sacrifice.
Hey, here's the thing: is Cold Fury's the night before. It may move, but if it's the night before, then
I might have to do like a stay over you can, then split.
Stay
like
at Dom's mom's house, whatever.
I'm dead. All right, so let's talk about Rad Pro Wrestling. So, you know, let me post up here. So for anybody who's watching on the video, I have the graphics up here for you. If you're listening to audio, please come back to the video podcast, or you can check it up on the Red Pro Wrestling site.
I'll talk about every single character on this show.
Right, so go.
I know a guy.
Go. Do you know a guy?
I do know a guy. I knew a guy who came up with a lot of fun names.
Yeah, okay.
But I want to ask you, I'm going to turn the tables.
Yeah.
What stands out to you?
What stands out to me?
About the show.
I mean, I was really, and this is why I'm so glad that I wanted you on this podcast, because I'm like, oh, what is, you know, we got like character. Obviously, I know a lot of these names on this show, like, you know, so it's like, huh, you know, this is very interesting, and I wanted to learn so much more about it because it's different, right? Like that, no, we haven't seen anybody do anything like this, so I don't know what to expect. Like, is this supposed to be something like comedy matches in here? Like, are we getting like real wrestling, just them playing a different completely character? Like,
great questions. So I'm gonna say to you, is just hear me out. I didn't want to start a promotion that was going to be chaotic light, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't want to try to outdo chaotic in what they do already and have done for 20 years. Like, that's not the gap in the market to me. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to start something like a wrestling open. Like, mm-hmm. that's not a gap in the market. They fill it, you know, perfectly. Beyond fills their part perfectly. Limitless fills there perfectly. Then we have tons and tons and tons of other things that are just doing your stereotypical wrestling show. Now that's fine. It's your money. You can do whatever you want. But I wanted to give people a platform to have fun. And this doesn't mean that it's all going to be comedy, because I don't want people to think that. I think mm-hmm. you're coming into a show with all new characters that you've never seen, but familiar faces that you know are not trash, right?
Right.
So like, yeah, I can go to a show that I've never heard anyone on, but I don't know if I'm going to get good wrestling. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think people will look at the card for this show and say, oh, all these wrestlers can go, but also I don't know what they're going to do. And if you can take some people, like, let's say Jack Tomlinson, mm-hmm. he's very much always Jack Tomlinson, right? I made a square. Take that however you want. He's a fucking square, right? Great kid, good little worker, right? But what if you just add a little bit of spice to him, right?
Yeah.
He's like the bland white chicken, right? You need to add a little seasoning, you know? And this isn't just, you know, me shitting on Jack Thomas. It's just a funny way to get around it. But, right, just a little bit of seasoning to make it different.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
So why not have people come in and do something that they've never done before? Take them out of their comfort zone and give them the ability to try something new where they don't go to Cap and have to try something new in front of that crowd that knows them. They don't have to go somewhere else and try something new. Right. They can try it here and come in and do something fun and different and really just like relax. Because sometimes when you get stuck in your character, like you can't deviate.
Right.
So here you can. So come in. And I think the real comedy comes from these silly names that I've come up with and these fun gimmicks, and you just play them straight. Mm-hmm. Right. If these are going to be mixologists with parodies of Bombay Sapphire and Tanqueray gin, and they're the botanicals, like, but they just play it straight, eventually they will just become those people. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
So, and in doing that, I don't have to worry about like, okay, I saw Jack Tomlinson and Dante Drago at Wrestling Open, we'll say, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Why would I drive an hour to see them again up the street when I could just wait for them to come back to Wrestling Open?
Right.
If they come to Rad Pro Wrestling, like it's in the name. You can tell what it is. It's a 90s style Saturday morning cartoon, you know, post-cartoon wrestling show. Like, vivid, bright characters, lots of entertainment, and just things that you want to leave remembering those names of those people. And you know they're also good because you've seen them act other places. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What's your favorite TV show?
So stupid. I always go, my brain is going to Gilmore Girls right now.
Okay. Is there an actor or actress in Gilmore Girls that is in something else and you watched
that
show because of that person?
Oh, like now I'm like screaming like Dexter, right? Of Michael C. Hall. And then when he was in 6 Feet Under was completely two different, like completely two different people, which was insane.
Does it make sense what I explained?
Yeah,
we do feel like actors and actresses, but we get pigeonholed as these one specific things, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
Whereas I feel a lot of wrestlers, if they were actors, a lot, I'm not saying all.
Yeah.
They would walk onto the set and be like, well, we're auditioning for Hamlet. And they'd be like, whoa. I only play Romeo.
Right.
Right? It's like, that's not how this fucking works. Yeah. So like, come in, try something new, fail. I want you to fail. If you fail at this, right, you've learned tons of lessons, right?
Yeah.
And it's still going to be fun because there's still going to be other great stuff on the show. But I want people to also hear this and say, what the fuck is Tahitian Tower style tandem tag team wrestling? Like, how is that going to work in a wrestling match?
Yeah.
Is that like something you've never heard before? Yeah, because I made it up earlier this week and I think it's like the greatest idea. But if they pull it off, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
People are going to have fun. It's just, I just want it to be different and I want it to fill a void that is so wide open in wrestling. And it's just taking these people that you know and allowing them to do something completely new.
Yeah, I like that. I like the fact that like come out of the comfort zone and like there's plenty of wrestlers that have been on this podcast and that I've gone to like other promotions. Obviously everybody knows that about me. I'm all over the place. I follow a lot of different wrestlers or whatever.
Yep.
And like Main Event, okay, is like probably one of the perfect examples. I had them on recently and I went back to a match that happened probably like 3-4 years ago that I was physically at Violence and Suffering, and I talked to anybody that came onto this podcast that was related to that match because it was for Matt Travis when he passed away. They had a 4-on-4 match, so everybody that was in that match, I brought it up on that podcast, and they, even though it was such like a sad, you know, reason, you know, for it, but they had so much fun. It was completely different than what I'm used to seeing them playing Main Event, whether they're at Open, whether they're at House of Glory or whatever like that. They showed up at Violence is Forever and they were just having fun, which made the crowd fun. So like when you're talking about this is like my thought of, you know, what we're gonna see coming up.
Yeah, exactly. I want it to be fun. I want it to be, like I said, just come in, open your mind, and every single person on the show has a gimmick.
Yeah.
From the ring announcers to the commentators to the referees, they all have something, whether it's a name, right? One of our referees is Slippery Gig Rigglesby, right? And then we have Gina, Ref Gina. She's going to be Regina, Regina Donatello, right? So like every single one of them has something fun, just sprinkled, just a little bit of seasoning on every single thing here. Mm-hmm. Is it a lot of work mentally? Yes. Who was it? Bob asked about is wrestling school good mentally?
Yeah.
Promoting is way different, and doing something that is as crazy as this, really mentally taxing. Yeah. But I find so much joy in doing this.
Yeah. Jeff's in the chat. He said, Red Pro, let's go. He goes, such a great idea. And he goes, how did you come up with Wally Dangus? Because I think Dom asks a question like that too in his many questions to you.
So Wally Dangus is like, some people, obviously I trust a little bit more because I know them a little bit more, and I know Sydney well. Mm-hmm. And somebody spitballed back and forth, and if only I could remember the first name I had for him. And then we had another one for a little while. He was going to be Royal Albert Hall. And he was going to be like a old timey Brit, but then we went with, Angelo Intellect and Wally Dangus. Mm-hmm. So we have AI and Wally Dangus, and they have their system, the WIN, which is the Wally Intellect Network, and they're, computer nerds. Mm-hmm. So, and please, if you're there, do me a favor, do not talk about Wally getting electrocuted. He's very sensitive about it. He's extremely sensitive about the time he was electrocuted.
Signs, right? Like, make some signs.
I mean, I can't tell you what to do, but I just want you to know that he's very sensitive about the time he was electrocuted. And we went back and forth about what's the name. We went to Walter, and I was like, nah, it's too like boring. I was like, what about Wally? Like, no one's named Wally in wrestling. And then he was going to be Wally Dingus, and he's like, that sounds too much like penis. So it's like, all right, Wally Dangus it is. And the second we say it and we like laugh about it, it's like, it's it. That's what it is. And Wally Dangus is a hilarious name. Low key, my favorite name on the show is, I can't get through it without laughing. Ned Relish. Like, Ned Relish is one of the dumbest names I've ever heard in my life. And every time I think about it, it brings me such joy.
Aww.
To think that Phil Cardigan is going to be Ned Relish. Sweet Ned Relish. But yeah. So, like, I just find so much fun in all these things. And, like, I do see that there's some people who I give their name to and they're like, okay. And then some people who are like, oh, yeah, this is it.
Ned make Relish it your is own. One of them. You have to yeah. make it your own.
Yes.
This is going to be fun. I'm excited. So actually, so for people that can't make it, like, is this going to be like on Twitch? Is this going to be somewhere to watch?
So there is talk of doing it after the fact. Mm-hmm. This is the first one. So expenses are obviously important. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that I am able to pay the people what I can pay them. Mm-hmm. And bringing in, like, let's say an IWTV to, you know, put it on live would just be like too cost ineffective.
Right.
So after the fact, it's much cheaper to do such a thing. Mm-hmm. So I do have an in-house crew that's going to do all the production. And then I'm going to put it, I'll say IWTV. You get the scoop. Yeah. I don't know when. Mm-hmm. I still have to sign the paperwork, but that's where it's going to be after the fact. Do I want you to be there live? Of course I do.
Of course. I want to be there.
18th, doors, 3:30 p.m., bell time, 4 o'clock. You can see, listen, you could be out of there by 6, going to run a tight 2-hour show. Mm-hmm. All hell goes, you know, goes wrong. We could be out of there at 6:30 max, and then you could be home, right?
Right.
So yeah. So trying to do it early, right? So, yeah, I am going to stream it, but after the fact.
Okay.
I want people to come out and see the show.
Of course. If you can go out, you know, go out. So, but you know, some kind, you know, maybe somebody from watching this podcast from California can't make it out. You know?
Oh yeah, of course. I will say it's not just me. I don't want everyone to think it's just me because I'm here. It's myself and Brian Malonis, mm-hmm. of Ring of Honor. before Tony Khan fame. So yeah, him and I are the co-promoters of this. So yeah, and he's been a great help as well.
Oh, that's great. Oh, and how much are tickets if anybody wants to buy tickets listening to this
So
podcast?
front row is sold out, right? We're at about 50% sold out at the moment, and $20 general admission. I believe we'll be able to get everyone a chair, but if not, there'll be some standing room only. So get your tickets now.
Get them, definitely. So, all right. So shall we go into some of these million questions that Dom sent in?
Yes. If there's no more in the chat, of course.
Let me see. Oh, actually, I did see it's the good thing you mentioned that, because I did see some questions in the chat. Bob goes, do you think wrestling will change than what it is right now within the next 10 years?
I mean, wrestling's always going to change. Do I know what it's going to be? No. Do I think wrestling's in a great place? I think wrestling's in the best place it's been since the year 2001. I think everything's firing on all cylinders. There's good wrestling on. And the reason why I know that is, like, my kids want to watch it. Right? Like, for a while, it was just, it was, for me, it was unwatchable. I didn't find joy in it. But now, you know, my children are like, is wrestling on tonight? And one, that makes me feel amazing, but also they can follow the storylines. It's not disjointed. So they're very excited about that. And I know that that is a good feeling, and I enjoy watching it. So, yeah, I think wrestling is in a good place, and hopefully in 10 years it's in a better place, because one, that helps my school make more money because people want to be wrestlers.
Yes.
And two, you know, my students could potentially get jobs if, you know, wrestling is thriving.
Right, definitely. Okay, there's more questions. Okay, what does it, this is a good question actually, because I think this is going to take the cake for a lot of people that may listen to this. What does it take for someone who to become a wrestler to make it into the big leagues?
If I had the answer to that, I would be in the big leagues. Right? Like, I think the best thing you can think about is you have to be the hardest working person on earth, not in the room, on earth, right? Because that'll make you the hardest working person in any room. And there's lots of rooms with a lot of people who are trying to work. So you got to go in and morning, noon, and night, eat, sleep, drink, breathe pro wrestling. You're at training every day. You're at the gym every day. You're getting the tan every day, whether it's spray or sun. You're watching, listening, consuming pro wrestling. That's it. That's all I can say is doing your best to be the best yourself, right? There's a saying is you're not a master at anything until you've done it for 10,000 hours. That's a lot of time when you're doing it part-time. So any time in between, you need to be trying to be a pro wrestler. Like I said, listening, watching, everything, thinking about pro wrestling.
Good stuff. Jeff has a two-part question for you. What
Give it to me.
match are you looking forward to the most? This is his first one.
I would assume on Rad Pro.
Yes.
What's the second one? And then I'll.
He said, and are you worried my son will outsell you in merch?
Jeff, you ain't selling no merch. You can give those away, but if you sell those, I'm pointing right at him. If
Damn.
you sell if you sell those, I'm taking a cut because my face is on them. But you can give them away, you know, have people hold them up. But I'm a baby face on that show, so on my own show, I got to make myself a baby face. So the one I'm most excited, other than my own, obviously, is I'm gonna say. Probably, there's two. There's two I'm going back and forth in my head. So I want people to see the character Eyeless, which is played by Shannon LaBanji, because it's such a departure from what you're used to with Shannon. So Eyeless and Flitz, and so Flitz is a companion to Eyeless, and Starla mating Crabtree, which is Becca. So I think people should see that just because the characters are, you know, Eyeless is a very big departure, And Starla's a little bit along the lines, pop star to country star, Dolly Parton kind of esque. So I think that's one for people to see. And then also got to go with Angelo Intellect and Wally Dangus versus CJ Cruz with two Z's. Two Z's. He brought it back. He's the only person who's allowed to bring back a name for this. But I assure you, it won't be that name for long.
Alrighty. Cool. All right. So let's go through these million questions from Dom. My jaw kind of dropped. Well, it's funny because
Dom loves me. I don't understand. I've screamed at Dom so many times, but he loves me to death. He's a good boy. I
yes.
may or may not have made him cry a few times, so.
Oh. No. All right. So he wants to know, what are you looking forward to the most with Rad Pro is the first one.
Fun. I just want people to come in and have fun. I want people to leave and say they had fun, right? I want people to go to other shows and tell other wrestlers about how fun it was. I also want to do things in the most professional manner possible backstage. That goes from everything, paying people, everyone gets free promo shots, for their new characters. There's going to be, I'm trying to do as much as possible. It's going to be a smaller show than other shows, but I do want people to just literally leave and say, like, that was super fun. And if I do that, then I've done my job.
Definitely. All right, his next question is Flex Rumble Crunch going to be there?
I've reached out to old Flex a few times. I don't know if he's going to be there at the moment. I don't believe so. Blaster McMassive is. He's coming up from Tampa to do the show, so that's pretty big. We haven't teamed since the end of 2015, so it'll be good to have my road dog back, even if it's just for one night.
Definitely. Jeff says we need a platinum Dom cameo.
No. Unfortunately, no. I did have an idea for Dom that he was like, because he's super robotic in the ring, and he knows that, to be like a love robot, like, oh, like a malfunctioning love robot.
He can follow Love Duck.
Because he like gets up and like he's like, he like just sticks himself into like this weird pose, right? Yeah, a malfunctioning love robot. That'd be fun.
I'm dead. He's gonna
even
probably.
if it's a backstage interviewer, like,
Oh my
just like
God.
hold up the mic.
You
that,
definitely
that, that'll
should
be
do
fun.
it. But yeah, I mean, he's done enough like backstage cameos with me at Chaotic. If you guys want to watch those indie talks, those are pretty funny. Then I yell at him, I'm like, stop being so like trying so hard. Just be
Just be
you.
you.
Just be
Be
you. I was
you.
like, just be natural. Like,
Be the love robot.
That's his new nightmare. You're the love robot. I love that now. So actually, let's text him that because I don't know. He's probably in class right now,
He
but it'd be
knows it.
kind of.
I told him that this week.
Right. I know he's in class, but we're gonna. So now we'll see if
Broken
he.
love robot.
We'll see if he responds during this podcast. So all right. So his next one is dream match. Who? What title? Where would it be at? I think it's a fun question to ask a lot of people.
Oh, I mean, who, what title, where would it be at?
Yeah, like
It would
what
probably be
venue?
like either Bret or Shawn Michaels, or Bret Hart or Shawn Michaels, WWF Championship in Madison Square Garden. Like, what? Like, that's a weird question. Like, of course, 10-year-old me is going to go to that, Like,
Yeah.
of course, it would be one of those.
And Dom just texted me back and he said the dead emoji and he's laughing. Everybody knows. Okay, so favorite match you've seen or been in with the la within the last year?
Within the last year, I'll go to two. It's a tie. It's obviously the one with Matt Cardona in Long Island, and the one with Mortar, which they were like almost exactly a month apart. Yeah, one was me working with someone who's much better than I am, and me working with, to bring someone up. Not that Mortar's bad at all. It's just, he's much greener than I am. So, yeah, one of those two.
All right, let's see. So I know I already know the answer to this, my favorite wrestlers growing up and why?
Yeah, it's like Bret. Sean, Mick Foley, what a phenomenal talker. I could go on all day, right? Like I said, I'll stick with those three because I could just talk and talk and talk. But yeah, do I have to say why? Because
Yeah,
they're
he
fucking
wants to know
awesome. That's
why.
fucking why. Because like I love them and they're my heroes. Like,
I get it.
why the? Yeah,
I get it. Shawn
come on,
Michaels,
Dom.
Bret Hart was my favorite
Yeah,
too during those eras. Those were
yeah,
my
like what the?
favorite. I had the
No
posters up.
shit.
I had
Yeah.
the posters on above my bed.
I used to wear this like sexy HBK shirt and like
Yes.
not you know like ninth grade or not even ninth grade, I'm sorry, when I was nine, whatever grade that is,
Yeah.
fourth, right? Like
Yeah.
he's clearly a stripper on this shirt and I'm wearing it to school,
The one
like
with the
this is
heart.
my guy, this is my guy, you know? I didn't care.
One with the heart with his head sticking out of it, pretty much.
Yeah,
Like, I
he
had.
was like just like wet and like hairy, you know,
Yeah.
just odd.
I can't. Oh, well, hi, good cop, bad cop. Thanks for coming on in now. We got your question, so I know he's gonna scroll back for it pretty much. So, okay, so actually, this is a good question, and this I should start incorporating into my podcast with anybody that comes on here. Explain the importance of storylines. And I feel this is so important because there's a lot of promotions that they just run matches to run matches. I love builds of stories. There's stories in the ring, you know, like if you could tell that story within the match and everything like that. So I feel like this is a really good question.
This is a great question. I am so story like driven in my mind in everything. People can run their show however they want to run their show. But for me, if there's no beginning, middle, and end of a story, then we're not really doing wrestling, you know? Wrestling at the end of the day is a three-act structure, whether it's the match itself, or whether it's the show, or whether it's the story, or whether it's the year. So we must have a beginning to the story, we must have a middle, and the end. And sometimes I break out the whiteboard and I go through the seven parts of a great, you know, story, which people don't understand is the same seven parts of a match. It's the introduction of the character. It's the you know, showing the characters good in a shine. It's the where does the dramatic tension start? Well, how low does the character get? The point of no return where, you know, they've got the shit beat out of them in the heat. This is also in the story of think about recently is like Sami Zayn. He had to bring himself up. He had to have that shine moment. He had to join the bloodline, and now he's in the heat. He got, you know, the fuck beat out of him. Even though he had that little, you know, hope spot with the chair, he's down in the heat, and he's got to work his way out of it and come up to something great. You know, it's all there and it all makes sense once you know it, but without it, I don't think wrestling is what it or is as strong as it could be without those things. And if we take away them and just have matches, I don't feel it works the same way. I was talking to Sydney Bacabella recently, and I said that matches, and don't take this the wrong way, people are going to be like, oh my God, matches are the most important. But matches are a delivery device for stories. Like, without the matches, you can't deliver your story in pro wrestling, right?
Right.
And if there's no story to give, then the matches are just there. They're just, you know, little self-contained short stories that don't interweave and relate to the other stories that could be going on in the show. So, yeah.
I agree with that. So unless like it's meant to be like that. Like I feel like deathmatch wrestling is very big into like, well, you know, you're just having
But
death matches, you
some of the
know?
best deathmatch wrestlers are storytellers
Yeah,
too. Like,
that's true.
you know, like a Tremont or a Jun Kasai. You know, those guys. It's not like they're just going out there and just doing these things for fun. Like there is a rhyme and reason to a lot of the things they do. So the ones who make connections with people are always the ones who are doing it right.
Yeah. Definitely, definitely. Jeff in the chat says, "I loved your match with Modar and Dover. I also loved you both at Pug." So,
what a fun show! That was Anthony Green's show. You know, Anthony Green might venture into Rad if we continue having shows. You know, I don't think Rad's going to be a one-off. In my mind, it's not going to be. But if it's an absolute flop, then yeah, of course. But yeah. There's a character for Anthony Green already brewing that we've already kind of settled on, right?
So how big is your list? Like, okay, you have your card already booked and set or whatever, but like, is it like expanding that you have this long list of like, okay, so like if the next show happens, like I'm gonna bring like Anthony Green in, and like, so like, how big is your list? How many names have you come up with?
So let's talk. We're still talking about stories, right? Yeah. Like, I have the ending of two separate stories already.
Right.
So I have season one's ending and I have season two's ending, right? I know where they go and I know who's involved. I don't know the matches yet. Right. Those will come with time, right? But I do understand where I'm going, just in my mind, because the first one's already booked. So if I can keep going, I have to have a rhyme and reason, like, does this make sense to the end? Mm-hmm. If this doesn't make sense to the end, we're not doing it.
Right.
Like, every line in every movie matters towards the story. You're never going to just have this random conversation about cake in the Avengers and have it not pay off somewhere later in the movie. Right. Like, everything has to matter. Every little beat isn't just throwaway. Everything matters. And they show you things so that you'll remember them. And that's what I think about wrestling too.
Oh, that's definitely good. All right. Okay. So Dom's final question, I think this is a really good one. In your opinion, why is wrestling important today?
So a good friend of mine, Robert Evans, you know, he used to be Archibald Peck. He was in ROH for a while. He's actually one of the writers for, Impact now. He said this once, and I thought it always kind of resonated with me. It made a lot of sense. He said, when wrestling's good, it's like comfort food. So no matter the bad times that we're having, we can always go to good wrestling and feel good about ourselves. Mm-hmm. Right? So I think that's why it's, you know, shit's not great right now. It's not the worst it's ever been, right?
Right.
But it's not great. It's pretty bad. So I think going and having an escape with wrestling, if that's your thing, it's like, and it also being good wrestling is just like the most comforting. Take me away. Let me live in your world for a little bit. And, you know, allow me to forget, even if it's for 2 hours, the woes that are currently bothering me, right? So like, that's why I think wrestling is important. No matter how many people shit on it and call it fake, it's like, yeah, no fucking shit. We all know that, but we can still love something that, you know, isn't on the up and up. But when it, man, it's good, it's great.
Yeah.
It's comfort food.
Yeah. I love that.
Right? Eat your feelings. Watch your wrestling.
Jeff wants to know, can I become a manager? What is the process to make that happen?
I'll tell you. Yeah, of course you absolutely can become a manager. What you're going to do is you're going to pay $22.50 to New England Pro Wrestling Academy. You're going to train for your first year alongside the wrestlers. At that point, I'll teach you how to do promos. I'll teach you how to be yourself. Maybe I'll even give you a character. That's how you become a manager.
I love There you go. All right. So I think this is actually a great question because it's very important on this podcast. I incorporate it into every interview that I do, wrestling with positivity, right? Because there's always negative around, you know, and I like to focus on the positive here. So, you know, with that being said, is there anything that, you know, you can think of, maybe like a fan's done for you, maybe you've done for a fan, maybe a wrestler's done something for you, maybe you've done something for a wrestler, anything that pops in your mind that like we wouldn't know about unless you would share?
Yeah. So there was a fan of Chikara. He was an older gentleman. He had, some I'm trying to remember the proper term for it. It was neuroatypical. I'm not sure if that's it, but he had some mental issues, and he was just an older, sweet, sweet man, and he loved the Devastation Corporation, right? And every time he'd come, at the merch table, we were always in character and we were always mean to everyone. But when Bill came up, oh, Bill, come on over here. Anytime we had a new shirt, we gave him a free shirt just because he loved us, right? Like we didn't, force him to pay or anything. He'd come behind the table with us. He'd, get a picture. It was always good to see Bill, right? And it was good to have a fan who just loved you. And unfortunately, I think it was last year, Bill passed away, and they reached out to us, and it was like, oh man, Bill, that sucks. It was just such a heartbreaking thing. But try to make those interactions. This is the teacher in me is like, try to make those interactions. If you've noticed someone loves you and is always at your table, yeah, wrestling fans can be awkward, but this might be the only time in their week that they feel comfortable, right? They feel like they can come up and say hi and talk to their hero. Even if you're on a small scale, you could be someone's favorite wrestler of all time, right? You could be their hero. You could be their idol. Like, make those moments matter for your fans, because one day they could die, and you'll feel awful about it, not having given them your all, right? It's not just what we do in the ring. It's what we do on the outside. It's the interactions we have. It's the smiles we have on our faces, and we put on the faces of our fans. So, it meant a lot to me for him to enjoy us enough to say that we were his favorites. And the people, who I think there was caretakers would bring him to shows, that they reached out, to tell us that he passed away because we had made such a connection with him. So yeah, it's a sad story.
It is a sad story, but it's like amazing story too, like paid forward, right? It's
Yeah,
like
exactly.
definitely, I think that's a big thing there. So I have two final questions for you. If anybody else has anything in the chat, feel free, drop it in there. So goals of 2023 for you.
First one is sell out Rad Pro. I think we're about 6 weeks out from the show. We're doing pretty good. I know that the sales are going to pick up. We've done a lot of flyering, done a shit ton of like Facebook and Instagram promotion. So I think we'll be good. There's a break even number, and then there's selling out, right? So of course I want to sell out, because the better we do, the bigger the next show can be. I don't want to find a new venue, but I know that this venue opens up their outdoor area, and we could have like a really awesome, fun outdoor show. It's a killer brewery. They have awesome beer. It's just like a really cool aesthetic. Like everything about it is going to be unique. And yeah, to make the first one a success enough to make a second one, then I'll be happy, right? So that's the goal, is to hopefully make Rad Pro a fun place for wrestlers to come and work and want to work, and do
And
something
drink.
different.
And drink.
Drink after the show is finished, not after your match, after the show is finished.
We can
yeah
drink.
yeah yeah
We can drink. I love the fact that a lot of promotions are running in breweries
I
lately.
think
Like
it's a
me.
it's a cool it's like a hand in hand, right? It's
Yeah.
like it's very punk rock. It's a lot of these places start up the do it yourself. Make this beer, and then you end up with pro wrestling, which is one of the most
Yeah.
punk rock things out there. It's just, do it yourself, put it together, and pump it out,
Absolutely. Shout out to Frank as too at Fight Life. Fight Life's this Wednesday. Also, that's on High
Oh yeah, well,
Spots.
Frankie will be at my show. He's doing the video.
Yes. Shout out to Frank. So we were just talking about another place to run a show, a Fight Life
Yeah.
show in Connecticut. So stay tuned for that.
Nice.
So, all right. So I always like to end on, a positive note that for anybody that's like, again, interested in, getting into wrestling, maybe there is like, wrestlers in training out there. What's a piece of advice that you would give those guys?
I think I already kind of gave it.
Yeah.
It's worked so goddamn hard that at the end of the day, you're so exhausted that you don't even have to think about falling asleep, right? It's like, and if you're not doing that, then you're not working hard enough. And maybe a second one is, and this is a little bit more difficult for people, is wrestling won't make sense for a while, and one day it will. And the day it will is when you stop giving a shit about what people think. So even when wrestlers start, or like young students start, they're always nervous because they feel like someone's going to kick in the door and tell them they look stupid when they're selling, or tell them they sound dumb when they're, you know, in a wrist lock or something like that. And once you get over that and realize that we're going to look stupid all the time, and it depends on how much confidence we have on our face, whether or not people perceive it as stupid or not, right? So, like, once you give up the ghost of trying to be cool and you realize that you're just a pro wrestler and you have to look this way, then life will be much easier. And then you can start thinking about it in every aspect of life. And that's made me, I'm just walking on clouds every day. I don't give a shit.
No, I feel that. No, that's great. That's great. No, that's good advice pretty much there. So, all right. So tell everybody where they can follow you again. Like, we can, you know, advertise again. Here, I'm going to put it up on the screen for everybody, the matches that we got coming up. But yeah, tell everybody like all that fun stuff.
Good. So give us a follow on Facebook, Rad Pro Wrasslin. It's Rassline. Then on Twitter, it's Rad Pro Rassle, Rassle. One of my Twitters got banned, and I tried to make the Rad Pro for Rassle in one. Oh, what a pain in the ass. Don't say you're going to power bomb someone. They think it means real bomb.
Oh,
Oh my
God.
God. What a pain in the ass. Twitter's a fucking cesspool,
So
huh?
is Facebook. They're all
Yeah.
cesspool.
I put my little, you know, like shell around it. It's just Rad Pro Wrestling, right? Like, but Instagram, what a great place. Instagram is Rad Pro Wrestling. So at Rad Pro Wrestling, give us a follow. Yeah, you can follow those three. You can follow Max Smashmaster if you want, but it's really just going to be a Rad Pro Wrestling like surrogate promotion machine for now. And then New England Pro Wrestling Academy. If you want to be a professional wrestler and you're in the New England area, you can go to NE Pro Wrestling. That's the letter N, the letter E, prowrestling.com. You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram, NE Pro Wrestling. And I think the Instagram is different because I changed it. It is NE Pro Wrestling Academy. So at NE Pro Wrestling Academy. Yeah, so that's it. Give us a follow. Come train. Come do the fantasy camp. Only $79, February 26th. Come see Rad Pro Wrestling, March 18th, 2023. Only $20, a measly $20. I know you got that kicking around. Check the couch cushions. You'll be able to find it. $20.
There you go.
And you can have some great beer. You can have fun. Completely family friendly, no curse words. And you know what? I want to pull something from Chikara, right? Like, get a shovel, dig up the grave a little bit, and take one thing is I'd love for the fans to also be family friendly. Because there is nothing better than something cool happening and the fans chanting holy poop instead of holy shit, right?
Well, then I can't come now because I'm the New Yorker that it flies out of her mouth.
I'm from fucking. I told you this. I'm from fucking Boston. I'm a chef and a wrestler. And if I can suppress a few fucks for 2 hours, then you can too. Okay?
I'm dead. I love that. I love that. Jeff said, great interview. Love you both. We will be there.
I don't love you, Jeff. I love your money. Keep
Damn.
buying them tickets.
Oh, damn. I think
I
you
said that with
should.
a smile on my
I think you
face.
should do the fantasy camp in Demetrius. Can you imagine Demetrius in
No,
the
he should sign up to be a manager, right?
Oh, at the fantasy camp?
Yeah,
That, I
yeah,
think that'd be fun.
yeah. You know, actually, here's a quick little thing. It's like after the fantasy camp, we give you a deal, $500 off. We do.
Do it. Do it. And then like tape it and then
do it, coward.
Oh no, he just channeled Mike Skyros. Like seriously, we're making Mike sad now pretty much. So but again, let me like scroll out for you guys the graphics for you guys on the video. So look at all these amazing matches and all the wonderful people. Are there gonna be any surprises at this card, or is this just pretty much straight kind of forward?
No, I gave you all the stuff. There's gonna be one extra match. I didn't wanna promote the match itself. Because I didn't want to. So,
is Chase Del Monte going to be the water boy?
No. The last thing I'll tell you, because I could talk about Radford all day, but I don't want to be given too much, is that
yes.
No one exists. So, like, we'll never reference another wrestling company around. And I don't want them to reference us.
Right.
Like, I want it to be in its own universe away from everything else. We're not going to talk about anything around. We're not going to talk about anyone's accolades. We're not going to talk about them being outside their characters. Once that show starts, it's like turning on a television show. You're in that world until that world goes off TV. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So no one's going to come in as something they've done before.
I love it. I'm excited. Great. I'm excited. So get your tickets. And then again, if you can't make it, it will be later down the line. Yes. So make sure you're following all the social media platforms so you can see when, what, why, where, all that fun stuff. So.
Rad Pro Wrestling.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming out here and chatting with us.
Thank you for having me. This was awesome.
Yes, this is so much fun. So hopefully, we'll have you come back in the future. You know, we can talk about it. So all that fun stuff. So
yeah, what a great success it was, right?
I love it. Thank you guys all for your questions in the chat too. You guys are all amazing, and all the people that are listening to this later. I love you guys. Jeff said, "I can't control my son," and he might actually do the camp. Oh man.
Okay.
I'm here for it.
Tape his hands up, so no middle fingers.
Definitely here for it. So, guys, next week, Johnny Torres is coming on. We're going to chat, so that'll be pinned on the Indie Wrestling Corner Twitter as well, so you can leave those questions for Johnny. We'll be live next Monday at 7. And Paris Vandale is coming on the following week.
Paris.
So, yes. So, I love it.
Make sure to bring up my name. Ask her about me.
Okay. I will. She's
one of the students. So.
Yes. Okay. Well, definitely. So you guys heard this here first. So I'm going to ask her live on the podcast. So.
Yes.
But so you guys know the drill. Stay safe. Support independent wrestling. And I'll talk to you guys soon. Have a good night.